That's a warning. You done stepped over. You done got on top of my last nerve. I didn't know you was counting. I didn't even know you knew how many you had. But you found that last one. You found the last nerve. The last one you got. That's the last one I got. See, you don't come to the end of yourself. That's the last one I got. Love of God will take you past that where you'll never get to that point. Love doesn't mean laying down and letting people run over you. See, look at Jesus. He is the perfect example of love. He is love in manifestation. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what he gave me to speak. So every action of Jesus had the endorsement and the approval of his Father. And we know that God is love. So he was acting in love. But I don't see anybody running over him. Amen. I see people setting traps for him. I mean, I said, man, in one chapter, it's like chapter 9 or Mark or 10, somewhere around in there. It just seemed like there was one trial after another. I mean, when he left this group, the other group was after. Then he got over that one, and then there was another test. I mean, they were testing him left and right. The devil was firing all barrels on him. And he maintained his composure, and he stayed in the love of God. Hallelujah.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I've.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this opportunity now to hear your word move and minister as only you can. And we'll be careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. I want you to turn to Matthew's gospel, the 27th chapter. Excuse me, the 26th chapter and the 57th verse. Matthew 26, beginning at the 57th verse. And it reads, and they that had laid hold on Jesus, led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy. For just a little while, I want to talk about two trials. Two trials. Verse 57 says, "And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." There are two trials in the text. One was religious, and the other was civil. We also see two men on trial: Jesus, the Savior, and Peter, the saint. The trials answer two questions. To Jesus, it asks, "Are you the Son of God?" To Peter, "Are you a son of God?" One is the son, the other is a son question. Now let's look at the Savior on trial, because that's where it begins in the 57 through the 68 verse. First thing I want us to see is that he is arraigned. Jesus is arraigned, and that word arraigned means to be brought up on charges and to be answered, as in criminal conviction that could follow depending on the answers to the charges that are made. He's arraigned because the record is, "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the priest, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled." Now, I want to say to you before we even get started that there's something wrong with the way they have handled Jesus in these trial matters. They have broken all kind of laws concerning how they were to handle those who were being tried. But nonetheless, the record is what it is. Verse 58 says, "But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." Verse 59 says, "Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death." Now, here's important too. Verse 60 says, "But found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, 'This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' And the high priest rose and said unto him, 'Answer thou nothing? What is it with which these witnesses against thee? What is it which these witness against thee?' But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, 'I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.'" Now, not only do they arraign him, but you're going to see the next step after the arraignment is that they accuse him. Because they're setting him up methodically to come to the end result of what they have predetermined in their own vicious desire to bring Jesus to death. What's interesting about it, as you look at this word, and he makes clear as the false witnesses come, and again, verse 61 said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, 'Answer thou nothing? What is it with which these witness against thee?' But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, 'I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.' And Jesus," 64, "said unto him, 'Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Now, I want you to see this, because after Jesus is arraigned and after he is accused, you're going to see that they, not having this legal right, abuse him. Let's go back to the word, follow it. Verse 65, then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witness? Behold, now he have heard his blasphemy. For now they felt like they didn't need the false witnesses that they had paid and hired to come and give false testimony against Jesus. They heard it from his mouth for themselves, and that was reason enough for them to end what they considered this trial, which was a mockery. And then notice, as the word goes on, it says, verse 66, what think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then here comes the abuse. Then they did spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now, my brothers and sisters, when you look at how they have misused and mishandled, abused and accused an innocent man, it speaks much for the character of those who supposedly had him in trial. Now, I want you to understand something. Jesus knew what he was about to face. He had prepared for this day. He knew this hour had come. He could have stopped it in the Garden of Gethsemane when those who had come led by Judas to take him away, to bring him to one of six mockery trials to be had. He could have avoided and prevented all of that. But he knew, for such reasons of which he had come to planet Earth for, that he allowed all of this to happen. One of the things that he makes clear and is relevant and real through scripture is that men's evil and wicked hearts are revealed in this process. My brothers and sisters, may I say to you, when somebody has something against you like they had against Jesus Christ, they'll stop at nothing, even at exposing their own shame, their own guilt, and their own ungodliness to bring Jesus to death. I think it's important that we recognize how all of these stories play out to show us that on so many occasions, Jesus could have changed the outcome of history. Jesus could have done what he and only he could have done. He could have exercised his power. He could have exercised his right. He could have called for the power of heaven to assist him, as he mentioned in the garden. He could have dealt with them one-on-one. He could have dealt with them arbitrarily, authoritatively, and absolutely by himself. But he allowed everything to happen to show that he was willing to pay this awesome price for whosoever will. That's why it behooves us, my brothers and sisters, to recognize that we cannot dismiss the importance of the cross of Christ. That we can't ever play down that what he did for himself, because it's clear he didn't need the cross. He was the Christ, the Son of Almighty God. He knew no sin. It was not necessary for him to die, and yet he did it for you and for me. All of these details are so that we could get an intimate glimpse of how much he loved you and how much he went through to save you. I want you to look at something else now, because the man who swore just verses earlier to be with him to the end, who declared, though all men be offended of thee, you don't have to worry about me. I will be right there even to die for you. He spoke boldly. He spoke with an authoritative voice, but it was based on that was not full of reasoning, nor was it full of revelation. It was based on feelings and emotions and short-sightedness. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you'll never take care of the business of God just dealing with feelings and emotions. You've got to walk in the spiritual realm. You've got to get revelation from God. You've got to have an anointing so that the power that is revealed to you reveals for you what is to come and gives you instruction and power to be able to move through whatever that betides you. Peter did not have this power working presently. So now we have visited Jesus on trial. I want you to see, not many recognize that Peter also was on trial. It was not a religious trial like Jesus' trial, but it was a civil trial. And I want you to see it. It's right in the text. Look at verse 69, for it says, now Peter sat without in the palace. Listen, and a damsel came unto him saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. Now the Savior was on trial. Now the saint is on trial. Now I want to look at the first denial. The first denial. Look at what happens. Again, verse 69 reveals that he was called out by a child. Civil law case. She says, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee, called out by a child. And my brothers and sisters, what's interesting about this is we many times downplay, discount, dismiss the fact that children know more than you give them credit for. Sometime they observe, they see, they watch more than you think they're interested in. This child noticed Peter. I don't know what caused her to draw her attention to Peter. Maybe it was because of the way he walked and talked with Jesus. Maybe it was because of the way that he acted in whatever area or arena she saw him in. It was something about his actions. It was something about his attitude. It was something about his activities that drew attention to this girl's eyes and drew them to him. And she noticed something about Peter. And so he's in the palace area, the record is, and this damsel, she spots him and she calls him out. She says, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. There's a trial going on the inside, but now there's one taking place on the outside. That was the first denial. But I want you to look at the further denial, because what happened was Peter, and you look at verse 7, it says, but he denied before them all saying, I know not what thou sayest. And look at verse 71. And when he was gone out into the porch. So I want to throw this out parenthetically. Just because he changed his company didn't mean he was going to change his confession. And see, sometimes it's easier to change your address than it is to change your actions. Y'all catch that on your way. See, just because you act up and get a name, become known for certain things in one place, just because you leave and move to another place, doesn't mean that if you don't change your actions, your attitudes, your ambitions and activities, that the name you got in this place won't follow you to the next place. So he moved from where he was recognized by the damsel and moved to another place and found out that he would further deny the Lord, as the Lord had already told him when he said to him that Satan desired to have him and to sift him as wheat. But Jesus said, Peter, I have prayed for you. Listen at this. Not that you don't come under attack. Not that you don't deal with the issues that I've had to deal with. Not that you don't make it through this or that and the other that comes your way. But that your faith fails not. Because I got news for you. If your faith don't fail, you won't fail. You might be knocked down, pushed down. You might have to go around, be turned around. But even if you're knocked down, it doesn't mean you're knocked out. You still have an opportunity to get up and win if you don't lose your faith. And so he was trying to help Peter understand. Satan wanted to kill his faith. He was trying to help Peter understand, listen, don't give up your faith. Hold on to your faith. And so I believe it was Peter's struggle. That's one of the reasons why he followed afar off because his faith wasn't as strong as he thought it was. But Jesus knew it wasn't, and that's why he prayed for Peter's faith not to fail. But listen at this. Though he didn't follow closely, he followed close enough to see the end. He wanted to go far enough to see what the end would be. And so now, as he comes this close, he's close enough now that Jesus' words are strikingly haunting him in his civil trial. And so the Bible says, as I continue on in 71, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fella was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Look at verse 72. And again, further denied with an oath, I do not know the man. With an oath means he swore. And you know how it is when you're lying. When they're not buying the lie, you have to intensify your integrity by putting an oath. I swear to God, I lie not on my grandmama's grave. And on and on and on, the oath, they take the oath, they swear by it to make you believe. Now surely if he gonna lie, he ain't gonna lie on his grandmama's grave, on the Lord, or none of this. But when a liar lies, all they're interested in doing is you believing the lie, and whatever they got to do to get you to believe it, they will do. And so now, as he further denies the Lord, in order to be more convincing, because he didn't convince the first damsel. And now the second maid comes, and she's not convinced. And now, as she makes this striking statement in the midst of all those who are around, he then says with an oath, I know not. I'm not just not with him. Listen at this. I don't even know him. Well, it's right here in the text. The Bible is very clear. Verse 70, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know him. I want you to see the word as it continues. And when he was gone out of the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were with this fellow also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Now, each time he's making clear, he's not just denying his affiliation or his fellowship or his connection. He's altogether denying Jesus. He's altogether saying, listen, I've never had any part to do with this man. How could I have any part to do with him when I don't even know who he is? But look, I want you to move a little further, because we move from the first denial to the further denial to the final denial. I want you to see this in the word. Verse 73 says, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Verse 74, here it is, the fly works begin. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not, blankety blank, 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 the man. Now you can think I'm making it up, it's right there in the text. He began to curse and swear. Well, what you think he was saying? Y'all sitting here acting holier than thou. Peter is
Peter like, y'all don't know, I'm the one on trial here. I'm hearing what they're doing to him. I don't want to be what he's being right now. So let me just get out of this thing here. I don't know. Use your sanctified imagination. The Bible says, and immediately the cock crew. After the final denial, the cock crew. When it was all said and done, Peter said his last word, and when he shut his mouth, the cock opened his. Now, my brothers and sisters, what I want you to see is that the true trial that Peter was on was not the civil trial, but it was his conscious trial. See, he remembered what Jesus had said, and he told Jesus and swore up and down that he would never deny Jesus, never forsake Jesus, never betray Jesus, never let Jesus down, would be with Jesus to the end. And Jesus said, listen, man, you're not going to do it once, but you're going to do it three times. And you're going to do it, listen at this, before the cock crows. Many people that morning heard the cock crow, but for many it was time to go to work. When they heard the cock crow early in the morning, it was their alarm clock to get up and go to work. For others, it was a time to start the day, to prepare, to do the things that they had assigned. It was a lot of things to a lot of folk, but for Peter, it was the verdict of guilty. He heard in his spirit and in his consciousness, as the words of Jesus came back to him, that you will deny me thrice. You see, my brothers and sisters, may I say to you, the Lord knows you better than you know yourself. And don't mistake the moment for the man, my brothers and sisters. And don't think that Peter himself, as he heard the cock crow, and the Bible says he ran out, verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. That was the end of the story. Because unlike these other courts, Jesus had mercy on Peter, who denied him three times, who turned his back on him, who was not there for him when he needed him the most. And I got news for you. Whenever you get close to Jesus and there's ever anything concerning him, don't you think for one minute that there won't be a trial that you'll be on also. Because whenever Jesus is on trial in the religious court, you will be on trial in your own situational court. Some of us, my brothers and sisters, when we say we are who we say we are, when we represent him as a child of God, when we show up on our jobs, in the marketplace, in the school place, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, you got to realize that there is a civil court around us, always trying to make sure that there's enough evidence to see if we're guilty of being who we say we are. Peter had so much, three witnesses that were capable of determining that he was with Jesus, so much that he could not deny and get off of this case that he was not with Jesus. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, though we look at Peter, a whole lot of us would go scot-free. Y'all catch that on your way home. And in other words, somebody would look at your life and there's not enough evidence to say you were with Jesus. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. Somebody on your job said, no, not him. He can't be a Christian. She can't, not as much as she cuss and act up and do this and do, not as much as she steal. He takes this. Y'all getting quiet on me here. There wouldn't be enough evidence to convict you as being a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, my brothers and sisters, what we need to realize is that the Lord wants to make sure that if we walk with Him,